you, Brother Miller. I'm indeed thankful for the privilege of being here tonight. I haven't been here as much in the past 3 or 4 years that I would like to have been due to the condition of my wife, her last part of her life. And then after she had passed away, then my problems began, my physical problems. But God has seen us through all of it. I'm thankful tonight to be able to be here and stand up before you. It's a wonderful privilege. I remember that seminar in Indianapolis at Fellowship Church that you were talking about. I had just returned from Oregon. I had spent almost 4 years out there at that time and would have stayed, but the Lord didn't see it that way. My wife was sick at that time and we had to come home. But the little church that we went out there to help continued. It had not had a pastor in almost a year and a half when we got there. And there wasn't but just 4 or 5 members. But now it's going real good. Brother Jason Stotler is their pastor. I understand they're really going good as far as that's concerned. They have some new members. The church has withered the years. I went back and stayed 6 months after that. And then went to Idaho. But I'm going to have the privilege, Lord willing, to go to their 53rd anniversary of the foundation of that church or the establishment of that church in the first part of July. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every place that God has let me try to preach. And I'll say this. I say it as humbly as I know how. I'm not bragging. But in the 40 years that I've been trying to preach, I have preached in at least once in 13 states and in Alaska. So God has allowed me to move around quite a bit, different places, different churches, and I'm thankful for that. And I still need your prayers. And the last breath that I breathe, you can quit praying for me because I'll be at home with the Lord. You all bear with me tonight. My eyesight is not as good as it ought to be. As a matter of fact, I broke my better part of glass, my better pair of glasses. And this pair I've got here is not very good. I'm going to try to read a little bit. I will get me some more glasses. I'm sorry, I was trying to get it in the wrong pocket there. Excuse me. I have to get my magnifying glass out to read. Y'all bear with me. From the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, I want to read a few verses of Scripture. It's a very familiar Scripture where the Apostle Paul was teaching on Mars Hill, or preaching on Mars Hill. And they took him and brought him unto Achaia, saying, may we know what the new
doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest forth certain strange things to our ears. We would know whereof thou these things mean. For all of the Athenians and strangers which were there spend their time in nothing but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then had Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and saith he unto them of Athens, I perceive that thou art too superstitious. Should have been religious. For thou art, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with these inscriptions, unto the unknown God, whom ye therefore ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I know that's a sorry reading as you've ever heard, and I'm ashamed of it really, but I can't help it right now. I hope I got it right. It sets before us my subject tonight. My subject is found in the book of Matthew. What think ye of Christ? That will be my subject for a little while, if God willing. I want to say this, by this time in the annals of Jewish history, the people of God should have known very well the truth of God's word. You know, the gospel is not something that's strange or not some new doctrine. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So that's not something new. It's something as old as creation is. Now, in the very beginning, I realized that they did not have as plain a preaching as we have today. But they had a plain enough preaching that they could understand what God meant. If you remember right, the Bible tells us of a man by the name of Noah. Now God brought Noah a message of destruction. He brought him a message of salvation. And he brought him a work to do. And the Bible tells us Noah believed God and went to work. And because of that, he saved, or his actions, God did the saving, saved the Israelite people from destruction. But we go on down through time and we see that in the process of time, the people were again turning away from God. And I'm not touching everything that God did as far as preaching is concerned or as far as he did in teaching about Christ. But God led the Israelite people, or allowed them to be led, into Egyptian bondage. And you all remember the story. And there was a decree that went out through the area there, that decree was that all of the firstborn, both man and beast, would die that night. To me, that's a message of destruction. But with every message of destruction that God has declared, He has also declared a remedy. The remedy here was you take a lamb without spot and without blemish, and you slay that little lamb, and you take the blood, put it on the doorpost and on the lintels. And when I see the blood, the death angel is going to come through this place tonight, and every firstborn is going to die, both man and beast. But those in the house where the blood was applied, and Jesus, or God said, probably was Jesus, said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. In other words, that blood was emblematic of the eternal sacrifice that God would make many years later. It was the gospel in type and shadow. And I can't get to all of them. It'd take too long. But what I'm trying to show here is that even though God has preached destruction from the very beginning, He's also preached salvation from the very beginning. And that salvation has always been the same. It's been through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. None other name under heaven given among men whereby you might be saved. That's a wonderful thought. We have a lot of important people. Been a lot of good preachers. Been a lot of good statesmen and politicians and so on and so forth. But not one of them could save a lost soul. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every born individual that has ever been born into this world has been born actually with the very burden of sin on him. There's no other way. There's no other remedy. There's no other hope. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means us, folks. I'm so thankful. Every time I really understand and take time out long enough to realize that the only hope I have in this world is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I have that hope. I have the witness down here. I can't lay my hands on it, but I can sure feel it being there. Peter was asked one time, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." What was he talking about? What Peter said. Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, I say unto thee that thou art Peter," and that word Peter means a rock. If you've got soul, heartfelt salvation, you've got something. It's enduring. It'll be here when the world's on fire. It will go with us all the way into heaven eternally and there be with God because of the fact that we are born of the Spirit of God. For by faith are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now that's why we're here. That's why the Lord didn't take me home when He saved my soul. It would have been better for me that Sunday morning out in Fort Hood, Texas, during a chapel service. I won't forget that service as long as I live, and I don't know a thing that was said during that service. I was under the deepest of conviction. I began to try to pray. And I said, "Oh God, hear my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. I'm an awful creature. Please come into my life and straighten it up." That's what my prayer was. And I thought I was at the foot of Jesus. In my mind's eye, I was at the foot of Jesus. And I heard Him saying from the cross, "Son, it's all right now." Now that's what I've got to take me home. So let's get back to the scripture. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for I say unto thee that thou art Peter, or thou art a rock. And upon this rock," what was he talking about being a rock? Was Jesus Christ that Peter testified as being the Son of the living God? That's the rock he was talking about. But Peter had a little portion of that rock. That's why, you know, the word Peter means a rock or a stone. So then Jesus said right there, upon what you have, what you have just testified, what is that is a revealed knowledge, I call it that. It's the only salvation is that which God reveals and nothing, no one else. I wouldn't trust in nothing else at all. Don't need to. Jesus is all I need. We sing that song sometimes. All I need, all I need. Jesus is all I need. I can see right now that I'm not going to have to preach very long tonight because I'm already getting further along than I meant to start with. But that's beside the point. We'll leave that up to God. Now, what was Jesus saying to Peter again? "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Jesus Christ is the rock of all ages. He is the stone that the builders rejected that's become the chief or cornerstone, and it is the head of the church. It's a sure foundation. There's no slipping or sliding. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And it won't. The gates of Hades, that's the unseen state, will not prevail against His church. Oh, I'm going to die. Every member of Old Union is going to die. Every member of Fairview Memorial is going to die. But the church will still be here if the Lord has not come yet, and it remains faithful. Why? Because it is a living organism. By that I mean, each member, when they become a part of this church, they, and the ones that come a part of Old Union, they are those that will carry on until the Lord takes them home. So it is a living organism. I'm thankful tonight that I know this Jesus upon whom the whole of creation is established. Fourteenth chapter, I believe it is, of John. Jesus had some of the finest words that I've ever heard in my life. They have strengthened me and encouraged me more than any other scripture there is. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus said, "If you believe in God, believe also in me." There is no God. Jesus and God are co-equal. That's the only way I can say it. If there is one, there is both. If you have Jesus, you have God. Jesus is the access to God. In my Father's house, one day after a while, we're going to that eternal kingdom. I believe the Lord's church is His kingdom here in the world. I may be wrong on that. But I know it's the Lord's church here in the world, and it's going to be here until God calls it home, be somewhere. The gates of hell, death is not going to prevail against it. So it'll be here when Jesus calls. And when He calls, we'll go home. We may already be there when the time comes, but one day after a while, Jesus was talking to His disciples one time. He said, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." And I believe He did that, and He promised that eternal kingdom one day after a while. When we get to heaven, we're not going to just be drifting around all over where we were, flying around this, that, and the other. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many places of abode. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. But where I am, there you may be also." I'm so thankful tonight. You know, I would love to preach a good earth-shattering sermon. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to follow what the Lord leads me to say. Now, I had no idea when Brother Miller called me the other night. I had no idea that I'd be here tonight up until then. And I had no idea what I would preach on. But I opened my Bible, and it stood out to me these words: "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" You see, what we determine Christ to be will determine our life, our lifestyle, It will determine how we live our life. It will determine whether we are doing as we ought to or not. You know, I try, and I'm not very good at it, but I try to follow the leadership of God every day. I try to be ready every day to speak to someone that speaks to me. I'm thankful tonight that I know a living Savior. I know tonight that I have that living Savior because I feel it deep down in my soul. And it's not just one experience either, brother. I have experiences all time that lets me know that Jesus is mine and I am His. I appreciate y'all hearing me tonight. I realize I've been scattered, haven't been able to study like I should have. I got to get me some more glasses. But thank you for hearing me anyway. I hope I've said something that would help you a little bit. It sure has helped me. God bless you, Brother Miller.